you're jumping onto white base.
Okay, let us Gundam.
All right, hello and welcome to Superhuman Samurai Cyber Pod. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
I'm walking on the moon, we could live together. Walking on the moon. I'm David.
And yes, I hope my legs don't break falling on the moon.
That's a really fucking good song. And it was yesterday when I realized, oh, Sting is in the Police.
Yeah. You know, the guy from Dune.
The guy from the Police, you mean?
Yes.
The guy who's famously in the Police.
Yes.
Okay, here's the thing. I don't know music. One.
Yes.
Sting, I knew Sting was a musician. I knew he was in the band before being just Sting.
But you didn't realize it was the Police.
No, because I didn't know the Police by association until listening to my goddamn XM radio or Sirius radio. And like, ooh, the Police has really good music.
I'm glad
that
you're being educated.
And then I looked it up to reference that song. And it's like, oh, Sting. Because I saw the music video and it's like, I recognize Sting.
Yes, that is Sting's old band.
From Dune.
Yes, from Dune.
David, what if I told you that Peter Gabriel and Phil Collins were in the same band?
What is Journey?
No.
No.
Wait, who am I thinking of?
Genesis.
Genesis.
Oh, J-G. Mm.
Genesis allowed is not. Is planet forbidden.
No. See, I don't. Music associations in head do not work.
You're working on it.
I've never known the names of bands.
You're working on it.
I'm doing better now, weirdly.
You're getting there. We'll teach you.
In my 40s. In my 40s, I'm learning about music from the 70s and 80s.
I mean, I learned about a lot of that, like, in the 90s and later, so.
All right, well, we are...
I mean, I was alive when the Smiths were together, but I wasn't listening to them when I was 7. I was listening to Madonna when I was 7.
Aside, I think it's come up before, I am still confused how the Smiths and Morrissey... I did know Morrissey was from the Smiths. Somehow that was a piece of information I had. But it is so weird when I listen to a Smith song, it's like, oh, okay, this is good. It's a little odd, but it's good. And then I listen to a Morrissey song, and it's pure comedy. I don't know what it is separating Morrissey, taking him out of the Smiths, but, like, his goofy singing and the lyrics are just... They had him under reins because he's nothing but a comedy act as a solo act. It's weird.
He doesn't have anyone telling him not to be such an arsehole anymore.
Yeah, was somebody else writing the songs, or was it him? Because, like, the Smiths songs are actually good. Morrissey's songs are, like, insanity. Like, Tiny Tim should be singing these.
Called things like, I Have Forgiven Jesus. Anyway.
All right, well, speaking of weird biblical references, welcome to the 8th episode of Gundam G-Quux.
Yes, it's time for the Quxening.
Yes.
I was at a new store back in my old previous town that had Gundam kits, and apparently I was the first person who the guy at the register had heard actually speak the name aloud. He did not actually know how that was supposed to be said. I'm like, yeah, it's G-Quux.
What is G-Quux? G-Quax?
And we're opening on what appears to be the wrong TV show.
No, it's like, remember, we had a previous episode that was a flashback recap episode for a different series.
Previously on Mobile Suit Gundam.
Yes.
Previously on someone's AU fanfic of Mobile Suit Gundam.
Yes.
Set in December.
Yes.
That's true.
And I guess another Christmas theme, there's also like a big star.
There is.
It is very star at the top of a tree shaped.
It's true. Solomon is star shaped.
Or I was thinking more like a star shaped gingerbread cookie that someone has been taking a big chomp out of.
Yes.
Well, they take a chomp out of it halfway through the episode. Yes.
it will be getting a bite taken out of it.
So yeah, it's like a big battle in the previous war that has led to where we are now. We got this guy, McCuve.
I hate McCuve so much.
We get to McCuve. There's like three ways to pronounce his name. I prefer McCuve. I think they do say McCuve in the dub, at least.
I feel like McCuve is too...
McCuve just sounds like more of an actual name to me, as opposed to a jumble of consonants that, like, he should be a boar, because he is.
But I'm just thinking Timothy McCuve.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's why it sticks in my head.
Yeah, anyway. But that wouldn't have been relevant, like,
well, no,
at the time, but also I can see that.
But, you know, McCuve, he's like a guy from Africa, which is his deal, right?
Yes.
Operating in North Africa. Also, I remember his pants in the original series being more like actual jodhoppers.
Yeah, they weren't like extra baggy jodhoppers, but they were a little bit jodhoppery.
Which definitely makes it worse.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, first we have to deal with, I think I'll be Big Zam.
Okay. Big Zam!
Okay, so first off, what is a Big Zam?
The big robots that you see, the first things you see in this episode, and there's multiple of them, they have mass-produced the Big Zam so like they can win the war, which is a meme from the original show.
Oh.
Yes, in the original series, there was one episode that the English dub of it was hilariously called Big Zam's Last Stand.
Jen's favorite
because
episode.
Because it is notable for being a thing that can stand because it has legs, distressingly.
Yes.
Is it technically a mobile armor?
I guess?
Rather than a mobile suit, because it does feel like it's kind of straddling the line, so to speak. Because it is
things
like...
Things that are designed after it definitely are mobile armors, but it's just this odd thing.
It's like a flying saucer with long, shapely legs, is what it is. It's army green. In the original series... Amuro comes upon one of them that was like, I guess, the prototype or the first production one, but they'd only actually made one of them at that point. And of course, Amuro being a murderous force of nature in the form of an angsty teenager, he destroyed it. And at that point, it was far enough along in the war that it was like, you know, the last gasp of Zeon. So there were not more of them made. In this version of things, since Zeon is doing a little better, they were apparently able to actually mass produce them. So there's just a whole, like, fleet of these ludicrous looking things just flying through space with their legs.
So it's like one of those, like, wacky, like, late World War II. Nazi super weapons.
Yeah, it's very much so. That vibe. It's very much that vibe.
Anyway, so Char is now in charge of like defending this moon base, Granada.
Yes, it's actually a base, but it's also like an actual residential city. So it's not a strictly military facility. There are civilians.
So was it found by people from the country of Granada? And then it's like getting invaded again. It's like, oh no, this is Reagan all over again. No!
No.
There are a lot of places that end up named after places on Earth, in addition to being named after like notable people from Earth. So it's sort of like in the US how lots of things are just named after European places. It's just named after Granada. It's possible it could have been founded by people from Granada.
Yeah, they were displaced from Earth when Reagan invaded in 1984.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
We have, on the moon, I know we have Granada and Anaheim. What? There's got to be other places on the moon, but I don't remember any of the other ones.
There's some place
and also, this ship that they're on very much makes me think of, like a city bot from Transformers in like a sort of unconvincing spaceship mode. Yes. That looks kind of like a guy with stumpy arms and legs and, like, his butt up in the air.
Yes.
Yeah. Which, like, there's so many fan versions of what it would look like if it transformed, but no version of Whitebase or Sodon has ever transformed officially.
It does kind of have that super-dimensional Fortress Macross look of just being, like, a thing that's lying down. Yeah.
Guy laying down.
So the Char and Shalia Bull here, his pal, and then a bunch of other guys who I assume are like Gundam characters who I should know.
Kinda. They're like, Dren is there. Yay, oh, Dren.
Okay, I just found the Granada is the second largest city on the moon. The first is Von Braun.
I was gonna say there was one that was named after like a scientist.
Yeah.
Speaking of Nazi super weapons.
Yeah, yes. Speaking of Nazi super weapons.
As long as the rockets go up, who cares where they come down? That's not my department, says Wunder von Braun.
Yes. Gundam is not subtle sometimes.
Yeah. I need to look up Desert Rommel and share a link about him from Double Zeta.
So they are trying to, like, someone set them up the bomb.
They're basically, the other people on the bridge are, like, people who have been, like, couple line characters or background characters. Just, like, very much supporting cast. So they're not anyone important.
So, yeah, they're trying to set up these bombs. But they're attacked. And in a soap opera-y twist, he is being attacked by his own sister. Artesia,
his he is also they're setting up four bombs, but Char doesn't actually want them to go off because he actually wants Zeon to be defeated because of his whole vendetta against the Zabi family. So he's starting to sabotage it, and the white gun cannon shows up, and I really like the gun cannon design from here. And he says something about this must be the powerful new type pilot that the Federation has. And
the one that killed Dozel in place of Emro destroying the Big Zam in the original continuity. In this one, it's Sayla, a.k.a. Artesia, who did it instead. Yes.
But as they're fighting, he has that little new type spark and realizes that it's his sister in that gun cannon.
Because she's strong, possibly too strong.
Sayla! I love Sayla.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a character who doesn't get enough to do for the main reason. Well, she does get a lot to do in the original Gundam, but she was planned to come back and do other stuff in, like, Zeta and Double Zeta and other things. But the problem is the original voice actress, like, she was sick or something during Zeta and then just, like, dropped out of voice acting altogether or something. So she's just... So Sayla as a character has vanished because the voice actress vanished and was never replaced.
And so it's a slightly different culture here than, like, in, say, like, on the Transformers when, like, Scatman Crothers was sick for a day. They just had, like, Wally Bird doing what was probably a somewhat offensive accent.
Yeah, they just absolutely have fill-ins and recasting. Yeah, they're a little more respectful of that kind of stuff in Japan. I mean, she does... Sayla...
It depends upon the series. Someplace they do, but... I guess for older series of, like, the 70s and 80s, they didn't do it very often at all.
Yeah. So, like, there's a part in Double Zeta where Sayla does show up. There's a point where they just show her and she's, like, hanging out on the beach.
Yeah, she's on vacation with some kids.
Like, just so you see what she's up to.
I'm on vacation.
And then there's a point where, spoilers for Double Zeta... the main character's little sister seems to have died, but it turns out she was saved, and she's just been, like, living with Sayla. And Sayla's...
She totally died. It makes no sense how she lived.
So
it is very much Duke was in a coma.
Yes.
It is. So, yeah, it's kind of unconvincing.
It's like the end of that one Simpsons episode. Well, let's just say she was saved by, Chalia.
Yes! So yeah, Sayla, it's nice to acknowledge some Sayla in here, because she's Char's sister, so of course she's great.
So anyway, we can't. They can't set them up the bomb because this, all these bombs are not armed.
Oh.
But now the like psychic system in this Red Gundam is starting to go kablooey.
Yep, it freaks out over something.
And also, we're talking. Have they explained what the Rose of Sharon or Sharon is?
Nope, this is...
I don't know what it is.
Only the second time it's been mentioned?
They've talked...
You are not supposed to know what it is. The Rose of Sharon is...
We didn't know. It's new.
Yes, the Rose of Sharon was a new concept introduced here.
Okay.
It is a thing to confuse the audience who knows the original series, because it's a new term, and we're all like,
what?
What is that? Because it's very much treated like something we should know, but we do not know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
and presumably it was something that was being worked on in the background, but yeah, that never comes up.
So whatever this thing is, it goes kablooey, and you know, Char explodes, his Gundam explodes, a big chunk of this gingerbread cookie explodes, and now
a big spherical chunk is gone,
just a big round hole,
and the process of that just pops the gravity or whatever off just enough that it misses the city and sets up orbit around the moon. So instead of... So you
like
have a
Unicron's
Unicron
head
situation. Yeah.
Yay! Yes.
And now the Federation is just hosed. So that's it for them. And that's why the bad guys won the war.
Yes.
Mostly kind of... It's... The series in this is weird. It's interesting that even the early changes to the continuity, like... Towards the end here, the war is going about how it went in the original series.
Yeah, Zeon's doing a bit better.
Kind of makes sense. Yeah, Zeon's doing a little bit better, but they were doing a lot worse. Like, it's not that drastic a change. It's like, Zeon's on a little bit better footing. It's just that the end of it isn't as climactic of a Federation victory. It's just, oh, the Federation's last-ditch thing fucked up. So Zeon's not defeated, but they didn't completely win because, like, their home colony was massively threatened at the same time.
Okay. Now we're flashing forward. I kind of thought this, like, this whole episode was going to be, like, old Gundam stuff, but it's not, in fact.
It's half and half.
We're going back to our current timeline.
Yes.
That's the way it was the first time. The first time they did it in episode 2 was, like, it was a full flashback episode. Yeah. I like it better this way, in that, like, oh, we get a flashback thingy, and then we carry on from the reference of that. Because, hey, more Caecilia.
Yes. Yay, Caecilia!
And speaking of Caecilia, she's having dinner with Neon in full Cobra Commander cosplay.
Yes. Oh, I forgot one line I really like of Char's as he pops up out of existence. I can see through time.
Yes, I can see time.
It's like he made a Simpsons reference.
I'm the first non-Brazilian person to see through time.
Also, there's a transitional moment where Shalia is giving a little narration about, you know, how that was the last that anyone ever saw of the Red Comet, but, you know, something about how he may still be somewhere out there, and I'm just like, somewhere out there, as Shalia's standing gazing out the window on his ship.
I mean... If we're going to do a musical episode of any Gundam, it really better involve Char.
Yes, absolutely. So yeah, also, Caecilia cooks her own dinners.
Yes, or bakes a cake or something.
Well, in full Cobra Commander cosplay, can she bake a cherry pie, Billy Boy, Billy Boy?
It is weird, like, Caecilia, of all people, is the Gundam character who might host a baking show.
So I'm just going to assume that this scene inspired, like, reams of toxic age gap Yuri.
God.
Yes, I'm pretty sure it did.
So much.
I'm not positive, but I'd bet money on at least some.
I should go look that up.
Mostly because, like, people yearn to ship Caecilia with someone, mostly other women.
That's fair. I mean, did you see that pantsuit in previous episodes?
I mean, nobody's dressing like that unless they're a little freaky.
Yeah.
Yes.
So she said, yeah, so, you know, we'll give you a full scholarship to our best polytechnical university. Live permanently if you trigger another one of these, like, crazy light show explosions for me.
Yes.
They're trying to find a way to do them at will.
So here comes Xavier to take her to her new suit. It is the G. Fred, named after America, which is appropriate for Christmas, because, of course, Fred Flintstone is America's favorite Christian name.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas, Barney!
I'm hungry.
That is putting serious, like, insult to the characters from the comic strip BC, who are more Christian.
I mean, they're definitely more Christian.
Also Christian cavemen, but not as well known.
They're admittedly not as famous. They're locally famous near me. I can drive by pictures and statues of one of the characters whose name I can't remember riding on a dinosaur.
I mean, it's also possible that Fred and Barney are actually worshiping, like, some caveman Jesus, like Jesus Crust.
Jesus Crude.
I like crust because then I assume it's like the Earth's crust. Like, yes. Yes, good, good.
He was nailed to the cross, and with his last breath, did he say, "It's a living"?
Well, there is the great tradition of Raptor Jesus, so.
Of course, of course.
Anyway,
there is talk of the G-Fred being cursed because there's some chatter that the previous two test pilots did not survive the experience.
Hmm. Okay, but also, why is it called the G-Fred?
What do you mean?
Jen, explain.
It just is. Fred.
Why is it named after the man's name, Fred?
Fred is also, like Quux, Fred is one of those sort of placeholder things used in programming sometimes.
Is it a placeholder? It's Fred.
Because it's just obviously not an actual thing that you would be using in your program.
Yes.
It's just a random word. But it is one of those things that does get used, like Quux, because Quux is also something that you're not actually legitimately going to be using as, like, a component name or anything.
Now, they don't really explain, like, so is it cursed because, like, they just, like, met with, like, accidents? Or is it cursed because, like, they got it and then, like, their brain exploded?
Well,
they did
the
say that
kind
their
of explains
stopped.
That.
Yes. Yeah, they had heart attacks.
Okay.
The two previous guys had heart attacks. Oh, it's a mystery. Suddenly we have a mystery to solve in this episode.
I guess it doesn't say specifically that they had heart attacks while in the mobile suit.
No. I think it's pretty much just implied, No, I guess they don't specify.
They were test pilots, and also coincidentally, they died of heart attacks, but despite being, like, teenagers. Hmm.
So there's a mystery to solve. Thankfully, we have someone who could solve it.
Solve it and also cause it. This is Miguel. Is this a pre-established guy as well, or is this just some dude?
No.
He exists only in this episode.
He's like Xavier, just sort of part of this whole
Miguel's new, so Xavier.
Yeah, spoilers. He's not going to exist for much longer.
No. It is crazy, but I kind of love it how fast they set up a mystery and then Jan solves it in like 5 minutes.
It does kind of feel like it could have been an entire episode worth of mystery, but
it really kind of should have.
Also,
man, have they done like a Gundam murder mystery?
Probably. I can't remember.
Like beam sabers out.
Also, the G-Fred is very Evangelion Unit 1.
Mostly in the colors, but yes.
In the colors and also the parts where they're, like, standing in front of its head on a catwalk and discussing it.
Well, that's not only an Ava thing, it's just become mostly an Ava thing.
Yes.
Like, that was a thing in old Super Sentai.
So anyway, they're talking about sort of the relationship between these various members of our evil ruling dynasty. So Caecilia is like, she's got the Saikamu technology, and then Jiren is making like cloning new types.
Yeah.
As you do.
Well, yeah, cloning is like, oh yeah, because the Federation made cyber new types, Jiren is trying to clone new types.
Yes.
And Caecilia is making new type technology.
He's trying to clone known existing new types versus trying to turn normal people into new types.
Well, you know, if he knew you were coming, he would have baked a cake. So now he has baked a cake.
Miguel and Xavier mentions that every time they have a celebratory cake, Miguel makes for them.
Yes. Like,
what kind of cake do you think this is?
Did it have strawberries in it or something?
It did look like it had some kind of fruit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, you know, fruit cake, you know, you shouldn't be eating that anyway.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, yeah, you know, those last two guys that died, I also baked cakes for them.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
He says it like he's being all chummy and not like she might be trying to solve a mystery.
Oh crap.
Yeah, and Jan just staring at him, it's like, without out loud saying, did it smell of almonds?
Oh, crap. I shouldn't have mentioned the cakes. Oh, crap. I shouldn't have said that out loud. Oh, it's so hot today.
But, like, it is cute that, like, Nyan is in a cozy mystery that becomes uncozy.
Yeah, it gets pretty uncozy.
So.
And it did not include a recipe for the cake.
Aw, that's a shame.
Anyway,
was
so
it solved by a cat? I mean, I guess kind of yes, because it's neon.
Yes!
So she pushes this cake aside, but luckily he's got plan B, which is a gun.
Yeah.
Yes! If the poison doesn't work, have a gun.
Oh, my bullets, my one weakness!
Yes!
So they just have, like, regular ass, like, guns with bullets in this.
Yeah.
Almost like laser guns?
Yes.
Well, because to power a laser gun, you need, like, big, like, battery pack for a giant robot.
Oh, okay.
So you don't have handheld ones. Well, where are there handheld? I can't remember.
There might be, but there's also just standard.
Yeah, just regular guns are just easier.
Explosions and little shrapnel metal.
But good news, because apparently at some point, Neon was bitten by a radioactive spider. Because she is hopping up this giant robot like a CG Tobey Maguire.
Yes.
They are on the moon. Miguel, the gravity is lower, so.
Okay.
Miguel is talking about how he killed the others because he didn't want them to become Diablos. Because
Diablo.
Apparently that's...
Gundam?
It's just what he thinks new types are.
Oh, okay.
He's just a Spaniard or something. I don't know. He's just saying Diablo.
Well, his name is Miguel, so I guess he's Spanish or Hispanic of some stripe.
He is Hispanic of some stripe, and he is convinced that new types are some kind of demons. That's all that it is.
So I wasn't exactly sure if this was like a big conspiracy thing or if this just one single guy is crazy.
No. Him calling people Diablos might be crazy. Because he was like a spy for Jiren somehow.
Right, we know he's working with at least one guy.
He took it in his own initiative to kill the other two pilots, he said. That wasn't part of his remit.
Okay.
Yes, because he didn't want them to become Diablos.
Yeah.
Right.
I appreciate that while Neon is just Spider-Manning on up the Gundam, Conch, her little robot buddy, is just hanging on to her head.
Yep, clean.
Yes.
Just staying up there.
Her robot now.
Anyway, she is distracted by how the suit kind of looks like Caecilia, which, again, with the toxic age gap, Yuri.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And I don't know how it's supposed to look like Caecilia.
Well, it kind of has a face mask.
It's got angular, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not really seeing it myself. But
she's definitely like... feels that this is like something that is a good thing, that she's comforted by it looking like Caecilia.
The face,
I mean,
has
also the purple, all the purple.
I guess the purple, and it's angular, but like the face looks more like Quickstrike or something than a human.
Well, she doesn't know Quickstrike. She knows Caecilia.
Anyway, unfortunately for this guy, she is already, like, psychically bonded with this Gundam, and so it starts, like, the little bit...
Yeah, the bits.
The little, like, chunks of it that fly up, the bits.
Yes.
It's cat ears come off yes. and are flying weapons.
They float up, and they straight up disintegrate this guy.
Yep.
Like, it is a closed casket funeral.
Yeah. Also, I appreciate not,
there's no
that
casket.
She...
He's a liquid.
She is so good that she doesn't even have to get in the cockpit to steal the Gundam.
Yeah, that is
traditionally
impressive.
They have to at least get in the cockpit to steal the Gundam, but she just takes it over like with new type powers. It likes her. The G-Fred likes her.
Okay.
Poor Xavier. He thought he was going to be the main character, but the G-Quux had other plans.
Yeah. Now I can't find that G-Witch gif of the hand to show that this has happened before.
Oh.
They do that sometimes.
Messy deaths.
Yes.
So that guy no longer exists.
He basically gets hit with laser fire that's intended to shoot through, like, metal armor.
Yeah.
So it does not go well for him.
What? Yeah. So, yeah, we're chilling out. Somehow she's not going through, like, enormous psychological evaluations or whatever.
Nope. They don't care. As long as she can get them a Zek Nova on demand, they do not care.
She moved the damn robot without getting inside it. She passed with flying colors.
That's all they want. That's all they're asking for.
She murdered a dude. Kaecilia is so happy right now. Ooh, I have my own little killer. Yay, stick her in the robot.
She needs some glasses so she can steeple her fingers and have the light glint off them.
Yeah.
She's
no,
just doing that
would totally wear contacts.
In her her heart. I was trying to say heart and soul, and they just came out as whole.
Down
that
in
can
a
just
hole,
go back to the toxic Yuri.
Feeling so small.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, and Xavier's all, oh, yeah, by the way, The G-Quex, it's escaped.
Yes.
Yes,
it
off
has...
screen.
Meanwhile, while all this was going on, the G-Quex has absconded from the Solon.
I mean, it turns out, I thought that it would be a thing where, and I was proved right by that, next time on G-Quex, it's a thing where, like, this was the Neon episode, and the next episode is the Machu episode.
Yeah, it is. We're doing parallel episodes.
It's like, what's our friend Machu been up to?
What Machu has been up to is getting into the G-Quux and just yeeting herself out into space.
Yep.
Yes, next episode we get to find out how that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Aunt Kaecilia's all, wow, you know, Nyan, she totally went sick house on that guy. Pretty kick-ass. But
pretty
I guess
great.
You don't think so, other guy who gave that guy the poison.
Oh, yeah, her butler or adjunct
her
or
butler.
Whatever.
Yeah, her, like, assistant.
I mean, it turns out that the butler did indeed do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he's like, yeah, that guy was crazy, but I have, like, a legitimate principled objection to that technology. He's like, well, that's cool. Kablam.
Which, like, it turns out Miguel and this guy do have a point.
Well, I mean, yes.
But Kaecilia also has a point that we really don't want Garen to get this shit.
I suppose.
So now cut to, I believe, two characters who we've never seen before.
Yes.
What were they?
So we got Taya Leone.
Yes.
Tirza Leone. I believe she used to be married to David Duchovny.
Yeah.
She was in the movie Bad Boys.
Yes, notably.
And then some other guy. They're just, like, in an airport on Earth.
Oh, what was it?
And they're gonna...
Shiro
some mop-topped blonde.
Was it Earth or was it the moon? Oh, no, I guess it was Earth, because it did have Earth locations.
Yeah, it's got, like, they just look like they're in the airport. And then they're gonna go meet the G-Fred.
Well, how different is an airport gonna look like from a spaceport?
Well, I mean, on Mars it'll have, like, a bunch of craters and stuff outside, whereas I think you see, like, blue skies out of the windows of this.
Well, yes, but if you have a spaceport on Earth, it's just going to look like a bigger airport.
Anyway, who should I know who these people are?
No.
No?
They will be in later episodes.
Yes.
Okay.
It is, like, I don't know why they show up in this episode, but it is set up like, oh, we will see these characters again.
Yes, it's just set up for the next couple episodes.
Yeah, they don't come back for 2 or 3 episodes, I think. Like, I don't think they're in the next one.
Okay.
But the next episode also mostly takes place during this episode.
Right, that makes sense. All right, so that is it for this exciting episode of G-Quacks. And apparently this is so important, it is even going on over our usual hanging out in our bachelorette pad end credits.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting when they're like, wait, no, but we've got a little... Let's see if we can squeeze a little more story in there.
Yeah, it's always fun when the anime does that. It's like we have a little bit extra, and we think it's important enough that it cuts over the credits.
Yes. So yeah, they keep going with their conversation over the credits.
All right, so yeah, that is it for this episode of Gundam G-Quacks. This was an interesting one. I was more interested in like the modern day stuff with what's going on with Neon and her like seduction into the side of evil in the like metaphorical sense, not the literal sense. That's
with Emma Frost inviting her to the Massachusetts Academy.
Yes. Oh yeah.
I do. I enjoy the AU changes, but yeah, there's not really a lot that happens there that you really need to know, other than Char disappears.
That stuff was included in the movie.
Yes.
When they originally did the movie version, the theatrical version, they lumped that in with the earlier flashback episode. I'm always excited to be angry about McCuvey existing because I hate him so much. I was very excited about all those big Zams.
Oh yeah, because like I said at the beginning,
so ridiculous and stupid.
It was a meme in the fandom for so long because it is a line they say in the some guy says in the episode, "Oh, we could have won the war if we just mass produced, or won the war sooner if we just mass produced the big Zam." So, mass-producing the Big Zam has always been a punchline.
So they did.
And it finally happened here.
There you go. And they're just so ridiculous looking. I love them. But yeah, and I liked the ongoing story stuff.
Like you said, like, the mystery could have been a whole episode on itself, because that's an interesting idea.
Yeah, I think it was kind of to the point where they wanted to squeeze that little bit of flashback in there, but they didn't have the episode count for it, so they just needed to get that in there somewhere. And I mean, I guess that is kind of like the original series, where they had to squeeze a couple things into an episode because they were running out of episodes.
The one we saw last time, yes. And it is awesome that Nyan figures it out like that. It's like, oh, there's so few people involved in this, and 2 of them are dead. Well, it has to be the other one that killed them.
Yep. I mean, that is reasonable.
The guy who makes a cake.
I mean,
like, you're even saying how you killed them.
Also, she's not like, I mean, obviously Miguel is Xavier's friend.
Yeah, so
he's not going to suspect him. So an outside person has
like,
to come in.
You bring in one outsider with any IQ, and it's like, yeah, he did it.
Also, I am here for Cassilia and Nyan's toxic age gap yaoi.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's very Yuri. It's very 80s Emma Frost and Kitty Pryde.
Yeah.
All right, well, that should do it for this week. We'll be back next week with more Cyberverse. And we'll be back in about a month with more Superhuman Samurai Cyber Pod for The Rose of Sharon, in which hopefully they tell us what the hell it is.
Figure out what they're talking about.
Do we actually... I mean, we get most of it in that one, I think.
I think so. I don't know. It's been a few months. My memory for details has gotten much worse over time with age.
We do get information about what the Rose of Sharon is. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't explain, like, everything that, like, what the hell it has to do with anything, but...
Yes. I think there's a big reveal at the end, unless I'm thinking of the episode after that.
Well, there's definitely a big reveal.
There sure is.
that we're going to have to explain to Rob.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Also, he might yell at us.
Yes.
Or me.
That's fair. That's fair.
Listen, it can't be any dumber than naming your robot the G-Fred. So.
I love the G-Fred.
I mean, the G-Quox is a silly name, but I'll stand by that. I do not stand by the name G-Fred. That is dumb.
Santa, my pebbles!
I like it, though, so I will accept that it's got a silly name. That's even sillier than the G-Quox.
The robot is fine. The name is... I mean, like, G-Fred kind of takes the title of dumbest Gundam robot name. Like,
is
there were a lot
worse?
Of contenders.
Is it worse than the Turn X?
Kind of, yes.
Because when, like, you turn an X, it's still an X.
That is conceptually silly.
Because it was a play on Turn A, which is actually a symbol that's an upside down A.
Yeah, that's the thing. It works in the context. There's a Turn A, so there's a Turn X. Like, having another Turn robot makes sense. Fred
also
comes out of fucking nowhere.
In the series, one of the characters is actually like, but if you turn an X, it's still an X. Like, that's a, you named your mobile suit a stupid thing, sir.
Okay, it's also sillier because in a previous series, there was the X Gundam.
Yeah, I suppose.
So Turn X is
I think that
crazy.
The Turn X is just a mobile suit. It's not a Gundam, yeah. Though.
I guess?
I think the only Gundam in... I need to watch Turn A and not just, like...
Yeah, I haven't seen it either.
...read about it and have an art book.
Yeah, Turn A might be the only Gundam. There's a weird mobile suit. That's an odd series. I haven't seen that and Victory for the original stuff.
It is a pretty, like, next-level terrible name, though, so I...
Yeah, Fred is... It's Fred!
G-Fred! It is very much like they took G-Quux and were like, hold my beer.
Yeah.
We can make it worse.
G-Placeholder.
All right. So until next time, I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm walking on the moon. I can't sing like Sting.
Yeah, but I never do.
Keep it up.
It's Cozy Mystery that was solved by a cat girl.
Keep it up.
There should be cat girl mysteries. Mm-hmm.